Welcome to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area in central Iowa. Welcome to our hosts, Susan Franzen, Gina McAndrews, and Paul Wearson.
Thanks for the introduction, Mike, and for your engineering to keep us on the air with our Zoom technology. I'm happy that as my traveling co-host, Gina McAndrews, is back, she can be here with us from her home in Ames today. And thanks to Paul for bringing not only your experience, but your great voice to KHOI. I'm happy to be able to turn the show over to you so you can welcome Leanne Harter, Special Project Manager for Story County. Is Leanne there with us?
To Leanne, we want to welcome you because it's change of season and we have cold mornings and slate gray skies, and we're counting on you today to, on behalf of the county, bring us some light. So tell us what's happening.
Paul, you always set the expectations way, way high, so I feel like I need to punt and find a joke every time. Good morning. Happy mid-November. It is so hard to believe. I'm on the second to last report of the year of 2021. I just want to put a pitch out there for anyone that is an amateur or even a professional photographer. If you have some pictures of your favorite place in Story County, we would love to share it on social media, on our website, in publications, whatever that may be. So share pictures of your favorite place in Story County. You can send them to storycountyis85@gmail.com to be featured on our social media. I do want to put another plug in for the annual Iowa Veterans Home donation. That is the month of November. We have two drop sites in Story County government. One is the Veterans Affairs Office in Ames at Community Service. And the second is the Treasurer's Office in Nevada in the administration building or the former county courthouse. They're partnering to collect donations again for the Iowa Veterans Home throughout the month of November. They need everything from resident clothing needs, which is stuff like long sleeve shirts, white cloth handkerchiefs, pocket t-shirts. There's also a request for craft items. There's resident personal care items. And if you do want to bring something along those lines, they ask nothing partially used nor travel sized items. And then they also are looking for bingo prizes with all items with an expiration date clearly visible. And that's stuff like full-size and snack-size candy bars, popcorn, cans or bottles of soda. So all of that can be dropped off, again, to the Story County Treasurer's Office or Story County Veterans Fairs throughout the month of November. And you can check our social media page and our websites to get a complete list of the items that they're looking for. Contact me, I can get it to you as well. I do want to give a reminder that we are nearing the end of the year, which then means that all ATV, ORV, UTV, snowmobile, and ORM registrations are up for renewal. And I'm not going to tell you what all those acronyms mean, but they are off-road vehicles, definitely. To renew, you may bring your VIN or registration number to the Story County Recorder's Office. The Recorder's Office is located in Nevada at the Administration Building at 900 6th Street. They must be renewed prior to December 31st, so less than a few weeks away, to avoid any penalty charges. You can visit Story County, Iowa for more information or call the Recorder's Office directly at 515-382-7230. And then for those of you that have a septic tank on your property, I just want to quickly review why pumping is necessary and what the requirements are for pumping your septic tank. Effective January 1st of this current year, Story County started requiring all septic tanks be pumped once every 5 years. If you have not pumped your tank since January 2016, it needs to be pumped this year in 2021. And as this year winds down, it's important to know why pump your septic tanks. Septic tanks are designed to allow for the settling of solids. Bacteria then breaks down some of the solids, but not all. And putting additives in your tank does not solve this problem. Studies show that on average, a septic tank needs to be emptied every 3 to 5 years. If you do not pump your tank, the solids will build up, which results in solids passing into your lateral field, which can cause clogging and system failure or back up into your house. Faulty septic systems cause water pollution and pose public health risks. So if you have not pumped your tank in 5 years, call a septic pumper and get on his schedule. If you have pumped your tank within the last 5 years, put a reminder on your calendar to stay aware of that five-year deadline. The pumper is required to keep service records, and Story County Environmental Health can access the information. They recommend you keep your receipt just in case. So if you have questions about this requirement or want some possible information about your property, call 515-382-7240 to reach the Story County Environmental Health Department. And then you can also visit them online at storycountyiowa.gov. If you do have a septic system that needs repair and you meet some residential or some income guidelines, the Story County Housing Trust, which is a nonprofit organization and a designated housing trust by the Iowa Finance Authority within Story County, their goal is to improve affordable housing throughout Story County. They recently increased the amount available in the form of financial assistance for septic repair and replacement from $8,000 to $12,000. For those households that may meet some income eligibility requirements and need repairs, replacement of septic system, there is funding available to provide assistance. So if you have any questions on that, let me know and I can get you contact information. I do want to just spend a couple of moments on new ordinance that Planning and Development is working on. It's a new ordinance to allow hobby or non-commercial livestock in residential zoning districts. Hobby livestock are those backyard chickens and goats that have been gaining popularity in recent years that are not currently permitted in any zoning district, but the A1 agricultural district where livestock is permitted. The amendment will allow a certain amount of hobby livestock, which will be based on parcel size. So larger livestock, such as horses or cattle that younger children might have for 4-H purposes, are proposed to have a larger minimum lot size than an intermediate sized animal like a goat. Small animals like chickens are proposed to be allowed at a ratio of 1 for every 1,500 square feet. For all animals, adequate shelter must be provided and appropriate manure disposal. Standards to allow beekeeping will also be proposed. The ordinance will be heard at the December 1st Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. The agenda for that will be posted on our website, and the opportunity to join in via Zoom or in person is posted on that agenda. And then the Board of Supervisors will consider it at following meetings in December. You can get a copy of the draft ordinance by contacting Story County Planning and Development, and you can also provide comments to 515-382-7245. Just some quick upcoming dates and meeting reminders. The Story County Board of Supervisors does meet each Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. for their regular scheduled meeting, but they've been having a series of work sessions on how Story County will use the American Rescue Plan Act funding. We have another work session coming up this Friday, November 19th afternoon, and then again on the 29th and 30th. The information will be on the website under the board's agendas. Then on December 14th, the board will have a work session on our housing assessment and how that may be implemented. And then we have kicked off our capital improvements planning, and the board will have another work session on that on December 15th. I do want to also remind everyone that Story County offices will be closed for Thanksgiving and the day after, but then again in December for recognition of the holidays on December 24th, 27th, and the 31st. For information on online services, you can visit Story County at storycountyiowa.gov. And if you are on social media, don't miss out on Story County happenings by following us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, or subscribing to our YouTube channel at Story County, Iowa. Feel free to contact me, Leanne Harder, at lharder@storycountyiowa.gov. My phone number is 515-382-7247. And in case you've forgotten our website, it is www.storycountyiowa.gov. And at Story County, our mission is engaging our diverse communities to responsibly provide quality opportunities and services that matter. I thank you, Paul, for meeting with me every third Wednesday of the month, and KHOI for our ongoing partnership and the opportunity to join you every month. And I think
Pleasure to have you. It's a pleasure to have you, and I really liked some of the ideas you brought up about not only donating to the veterans, but sending pictures of your favorite place in Story County. I'm going to have to think about that one. Yeah, that's just a great idea. By the way, we look forward to hearing from you in December. In the meantime, I hope you and your family have a wonderful Thanksgiving, Leanne.
Same to you, Paul, and same to all of your listeners out there, too. Everyone stay healthy and happy, and stay safe.
And now we have, once again, an on-air fund drive. I couldn't believe 9 years ago that we were ever going to make operating expenses. And Gina, were you around for the first fund drive that we did?
No, I wasn't. I was a little slow learning about KHOI and getting actively involved. But I remember when they had a lot of the storytelling workshops and the concerts called the Pantorium Sessions, and they sure had a lot of great events we've had.
Yeah, and Paul was with us from the beginning. I remember that the man who came to Iowa wanting to start a radio station, Roger Parmenter, when he heard Paul, he said, "I want him for the voice of KHOI." Paul, did you know that, yeah, that you were the voice of KHOI?
No, well, I remember Roger and the meetings we had in Story City, and yes, he did refer to me in that way, and I was very happy to hear that. And Roger was of course, he was the key person getting things going, and we owe a lot to Roger as well as to Ursula. You mentioned all the people you mentioned who were what I would call present at creation. And of course, just like public radio, we depend on people who enjoy our broadcasts and enjoy our material and depend on KHOI for some of their information to sign on every year to support us financially. And this is a fund drive time again this year. We have the basic membership of $60 a year and household $100 for a membership. Major donor, $1,000. Get whatever you can at KHOIFM.org. All you got to do is get on that website, KHOIFM.org, and press the donate button. Because we depend on your support for continuing at KHOI. And of course, we all need to remember what a unique place KHOI is. Susan, you just reiterated how we were formed, how things came together for us so conveniently, be it our location and beginning our broadcasting here in Ames. And now it's time to look at broadcasting in a broader context. We have a lot of things going on in broadcasting that's really changed in the last 20, 30 years. And it's really a market that's been vertically integrated, where one organization owns a great number of stations. A lot of the broadcast material, even on local stations, is syndicated and originates elsewhere. And that's why KHOI is so important for Story City and Ames area, because, yes, we have some network and syndicated programs, but we have so much of the local news. We just had Leanne Harder with all the local happenings from the county. Look at all the information she gave us just in that time. And of course, we cover all kinds of local elections and issues, and we have guests on the shows. We have from the city of Ames and Story County and all the organizations that need to communicate with the public here in Story County. And the bottom line is that we are the source of local broadcast information you need to have. So KHOI, especially in what's happening to radio today, is indispensable just because it's local. We have so much information available. It's really important to people right here in Story County in our listening area. And we don't forget all the creative programming we have, like Old Bob's 8-Track Garage Sale. You know, and all the music you can hear at KHOI, we have everything from opera to rap. And most podcast stations specialize in one kind of music, and we have all that. So, more KHOI now that the front drive is on.
By the way, you know, in the last 9 years, there has been some inflation. But if you have been present at our other fund drives, you know that we haven't raised the price for basic memberships or even becoming a friend. But of course, since all our donations are voluntary, you can raise those for us. And, of course, we need that because our basic expenses have also inflated a little, although we have so much of our real talent that is a volunteer. We have so many programs that people are on just to, because they have a chance to explore their passion. You mentioned Bob's HAC garage sale, but John Bassert's jazz program is also his passion. And I believe that is syndicated too. So other stations can hear it. And we sort of have the best with of everything. We have Pacifica, which has excellent programs. And we can, because we're signed on, because actually Ursula is the affiliates manager for Pacifica. We don't get a cut, but we certainly do benefit from being an affiliate of Pacifica. But we didn't run down the basic uninflated prices. Basic memberships are just $60 a year, about 16 cents a day, or maybe you'll want to become a friend at $250 a year or $20 a month on the economy plan. You see that you save $10 if you pay monthly. And we have a few friends who are going beyond that, and we really appreciate you. Right now, you can call the station at 515-292-2878. If you want to call in or if you prefer to give online, visit khoifm.org and press the yellow donate button. In case you missed that, the phone number is 515-292-2878 or go online at khoi.org and touch the donate button. And thank you. Another source of local news is the Ames and Story County League of Women Voters. Since near the beginning of our broadcast, we air their legislative updates and forums. As they have expanded their activities, we have provided more airtime. They now offer lectures on issues of political interest at their monthly meetings. One of these will be at 7 p.m. tomorrow evening, Thursday, November 18th at the Ames Public Library. We have Carolyn and John Klaus here from the League to tell us about that. Hello.
Hello. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Susan.
I'm going to let John start off. He's going to talk about our program tomorrow night.
Right. Thank you, Carolyn, and thank you, Susan, for listening to us this morning. We have a program every month on the issue of interest, and the issue this month is going to be empowerment of women worldwide. And I hope that you folks will all come out and join us at the Ames Public Library Auditorium at 7 p.m. tomorrow. And our presenter will be Dr. Cornelia Flora. She's the Emerita Distinguished Professor in the Department of Sociology at ISU and also a member of our League of Women Voters for Ames and Story County. And we will be exploring the concept of empowerment and also how empowerment is achieved and how it's maintained. And this program surfaced in our program committee, and I chair our program committee, is sort of an empathy for the plight of the women in Afghanistan when the Taliban returned to power. But we very soon realized that this was a plight that continues for women throughout the world. And Dr. Flora is very well prepared to make a very informative presentation on this subject. She has done work in Latin America, Africa, Asia, and Europe on how women empower themselves to provide for their families under difficult circumstances. She will share from her experiences around the world how women can work together to build their access to cultural, social, and political and financial resources. So I think it'll be very, very insightful and a great opportunity to participate in the dialogue. Questions will be taken from the audience, and if you are unable to attend in person, and we really would like to see as many people as possible in the auditorium tomorrow evening, but you can go to the League of Women Voters Facebook page, and the event will be streaming live on Facebook Live. So that's what we're going to be doing. And I hope to see as many of you as possible out to participate in this program with us. So do you have any other questions for me, Susan?
I've also read the description of what she's going to be talking about. There are many, many interesting things that she could tell us. By the way, she was on the air on KHOI just a few minutes, also promoting this on Monday morning. So you could hear a little of her voice and her enthusiasm. So that will be at the
7 p.m.
Yeah, would you run through the details at the Ames Public Library?
7 p.m. at the Ames Public Library. It will be in the auditorium. Dr. Flora will be presenting from the stage, and we will have ample seating. Of course, the auditorium is a big space, so you can space yourself as you wish. And questions will be taken from the audience. And if we get some questions on Facebook, we'll try to share those as well. And we'll get a good discussion going. These League of Women Voters programs have been very exciting over the last couple of years. And this will not disappoint. So please join us 7 p.m. tomorrow night in the Ames Public Library Auditorium to talk about empowerment of women worldwide and how women have learn to come together and deal with some very difficult circumstances to make life better for their family.
I don't know whether this is being live streamed. I know it's being recorded because I talked to the man who's recording it, and we'll be playing it on KHOI. So if you have to miss it on Thursday
evening, we'll be doing something called live streaming. It will be on Facebook Live on the League of Women Voters Facebook page. Okay. So if you search for our Facebook page and find it, click on our Facebook page, and the prompts will tell you how to get how to join the event on Facebook Live.
And we are very grateful that KHOI presents our programs at a later date. And with the empowerment of men, I think Cornelia will say that you only empower women if you get the men to go along. And so I think there's part of that along with all of this. So I'm going to tell you about our next event It's also tomorrow. And very much like KHOI, we are dependent on fundraising to keep our organization and all of our programs going. We are having the Worldly Goods on Main Street will be League of Women Voters Day. And from 10 o'clock till 5 o'clock tomorrow, if you go into Worldly Goods and do all your Christmas shopping at Worldly Goods, you will be supporting the League of Women Voters. But tell them that. So please support the League tomorrow by going shopping downtown. So I hung out downtown on Monday. And what a great place to go shopping. You don't need to keep UPS and the post office and FedEx busy. We have a main street that will really do your shopping list for Christmas. So, but Worldly Goods from 10 o'clock in the morning till 5 tomorrow. And the League, mention the League, and we get a portion of that. So we can't our League going without fundraising. So
yeah, but would you repeat which store it is that you
Worldly Goods. Okay. Yes, they are okay. They are a very good supporter for nonprofits here in the Ames area and organizations. So they promote people coming in. So,
well, thank you very much.
Look forward to seeing everybody at the library auditorium tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. Come join us. It's a big room. You know, if you forget your mask and you get uncomfortable, they have masks at the library. So they very much encourage that. So thank you. Thank you, KHOI.
Thank you, Carolyn and John Klaus. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and our closing presentation today is about an event that took place this morning as part of Genealogy Plus. Since this is an evening rebroadcast, we are taking out the details about how you can attend or Zoom into the 10 a.m. program. Instead, we have a recorded interview with the presenter, Arlen Tweet, telling us about his presentation this morning at the Ames Public Library. About the founders of many towns in central Iowa, who were the subject of his three books on the central Iowa Norwegians.
My name is Arlen Tweet, and I've done research on the Central Iowa Norwegians for many, many years, and prior to that I did some family history, and that's how I got interested in writing about the Central Iowa Norwegians. I've published three books about the Central Iowa Norwegians. They contain my history of the settlement of Norwegian immigrants in Central Iowa during the first 50 years of settlement from 1855 to 1905. And Wednesday at the Ames Library, my wife, who's also my editor and proofreader, I don't publish anything until it passes her inspection, is going to be interviewing me about my books.
And what are your books?
Well, they are a combination. They contain my history of the Central Iowa Norwegians, which involves actually three signature pieces, one in each of the three volumes. One is about the settlement period, the first 25 years of Norwegian settlement in central Iowa. One is about my biographical profiles of the approximately 145 families that lived in Norwegian families who lived in central Iowa during their first 5.5 years of settlement. And volume three of the Central Iowa Norwegians contains my history of the town building period, which began in the early 80s, when new rail lines came into central Iowa and new towns were platted. So we're going to be talking about those. But the books also contain short histories and memoirs written by other people. So they're a combination of my writings and other people's writings.
And where did your family settle?
Well, two of my sets of great-great-grandparents, Hans and Abella Tweet, and Jacob and Ellen Erickson, they were members of the caravan that came from Lisbon, Illinois in 1856 and started the second Norwegian settlement in central Iowa. That was east of Story City. The year before, a group had come from Lisbon and started the first central Iowa Norwegian settlement southwest of Cambridge.
Now, were they close enough that they met occasionally, like have church services together, or?
They were basically 25 miles apart, so in those early days, that was a long distance. When passenger trains began to take people back and forth in the early 1880s, yeah, it was a lot less distance. But there are families, some of the siblings who settled in west of Cambridge, and other members of the same family, their brothers and sisters, settled in northern Story County or southern Hamilton County. So there was a lot of interaction between the two settlements.
How would you describe these Norwegians? What are their characteristics as Norwegians?
Well, the Norwegians immigrants who settled in central Iowa, they were from southwestern Norway. They were from farms, so they were rural people who had decided to immigrate mainly for economic reasons. Ireland had the greatest percentage of its population immigrate, but next to it was Norway, and part of that was that their diet improved, growing potatoes and eating potatoes in their diet. So there was population growth, and there just wasn't enough room. There's not a lot of farmable land in Norway, so they lived and farmed what they could on the foothills of mountains and along the fjords in southwest Norway, and did some fishing. That was their livelihood. So some of them decided to immigrate. In some cases, they were people who owned farms that could sell farms and had some money. In other cases, they were what they called husmen. They were tenant farmers, kind of like renters on other people's farms. But it was primarily economic reasons that they moved, and they originally settled about 60 miles southwest of Chicago in a Norwegian settlement there, and that's where they lived. They started settling there in the mid-1840s, and then the mid-1850s, they started moving to central Iowa.
What is the most surprising thing that you found?
Oh, my, you know, I think my wife's going to be asking me that question on Wednesday. I found so many things that, you know, everything I've researched and wrote about has been interesting to me. But I will say, just to give you one specific answer, in Volume 1, in my settlement period history, what I found most interesting about researching and writing that history was what life was like for them after they moved to central Iowa, but before the first train pulled into Nevada, the county seat town. So they were basically living in a subsistence economy during that time until they got train service into central Iowa. And I found that period of time most interesting to write about and to learn about. There were 97 families or Norwegian families living, or at least enumerated on the 1860 census, and 52 of them had lived in central Iowa long enough that they could report agricultural information that what they'd produced from their farms. So that information was very helpful in describing their life before they got train service in 1864.
And how did they come out? Did they come out in covered wagons or some other way?
Well, they came out in covered wagons. They came out in a caravan of wagons. In both cases, though, they had sent scouting parties out in search of land. So the group that settled southwest of Cambridge, they sent a scouting party, a four-member scouting party, out to look for a new area of area for Norwegian immigrants to settle, there were so many people coming into and settling there southwest of Chicago, and the price of land was going up, and the new immigrants couldn't afford it, so that's why they sent the settling party out. They were authorized to go as far as Omaha, Nebraska, in search of a new location, but they got as far as Southern Story County, and that's where they decided to buy land, and they went down to the land office there in Des Moines, and the land was still available for $1.25 an acre, which was the government price, and that's where they started their settlement. Then the next year, they spent the winter getting ready, and then they came out in I think there was 24 covered wagons in the group that came out to start the settlement southwest of Cambridge. Maybe not quite as many wagons in the group that came out to start the settlement north of or east of Story City.
You mentioned that your books contained the memoirs or writings from other, so it's a compilation of memoirs.
Yes, my books are basically around 350 pages, a little bit more in some cases, or one case in length. About the first 200 pages of each volume contains my histories, and these short histories are written by other people. And one of the first histories written about the Central Iowa Norwegians was written by a man by the name of Ole Nelson, who lived, he helped plant the town of Sheldahl, and then later moved to Slater when the town, part of that town, moved to Slater in the late 1880s. But anyway, he wrote a history of the first Norwegian settlement. It's the Palestine congregation southeast of Huxley. So that's one thing that's there. But, gee, I've got some writings by that describe, these aren't Norwegian authors, but W.O. Payne worked for his father as editor of the Nevada paper. He's written about what the early days of, the real early days, because settlement started in Story County around 1850. The Norwegians didn't come until 1855. And W.K. Wood, so I have some of their writings. I have some, in Volume 2, some wonderful memoirs. Three wonderful memoirs that I've collected over the years. In Volume 3, I'm thinking about Volume 3. Well, in 1905, they had celebrations of the 50th anniversary of settlement, both in Cambridge and in Story City. And there was a national organization called the Norwegian Pioneers Association that held their fourth triennial convention in Story City as part of that celebration. One of the reporters there, they had nationally known speakers, but one of the reporters was from Minneapolis, someone who grew up in Story City, Sven Vollen, but has spent all of his adult life back in Norway. He translated those newspaper articles for me, so those are important ones. Then I guess the other thing that that I really enjoyed researching and writing was that during all my years of research, I have collected a lot of what I call pioneer references to the Meskwaki Indians. They were one of the tribes living in Central Iowa before the U.S. government opened the land for settlement, and they were relocated to a reservation in Iowa, but some of them longed to be back to their permanent settlement area along the Iowa River in Tama County. And in 1857, the governor of Iowa helped them purchase their first 80 acres over there. At one point in my research, I took my collection of, sent my collection of pioneer references to the Meskwaki over to the tribal historian in the Meskwaki settlement, Jonathan Buffalo, and he encouraged me to write about them. So there's a very long piece in Volume 2. It's the last piece in Volume 2, which is about, I think the title is something like Euro-American Interaction with the Meskwaki Indians along the upper South Skunk River. But so there's a variety of things that other people have written, and like I say, that one piece about the Meskwaki that I have written, in addition to the main part of the books, which are my history of the first 50 years of settlement.
Would you repeat again the years that your books cover?
They cover the year from 1855, which is when the settlement southwest of Story City was started, up through the year 1905. So right past the turn of the century.
And what are the names of the different books?
Well, the title of all three books is The Central Island Norwegians, Volume 1, Volume 2, and Volume 3.
Okay. I thought I'd seen subtitles.
I'd have to look that up and see what the subtitle is. But, you know, when I was trying to figure out, okay, what's the title I'm going to give my history? Well, it just seemed like, just coined it, The Central Island Norwegians, describes exactly what it was. People who are interested in, who have ancestors who lived in Central Iowa, Norwegian ancestors who lived in Central Iowa, they would immediately recognize it as a possible resource for helping them understand what the lives of their ancestors were like here in Central Iowa up through 1905.
And what do you plan to do at the Ann Public Library this morning?
Well, the program title I submitted to them was, it actually covers three main questions. You know, how I got interested in writing about the Central Iowa Norwegians, because when I finished a family history in 1985, I thought I was through with family history and that sort of thing. So that's one major point. Second major point is why it took me so long to get my books published. I had some significant diversions, one of them being writing a history of the third Danish settlement, the Copenhagen settlement, which was started a couple miles south of Story City. So there, that took a year. And then the third main point that we're going to be talking about is why I decided to self-publish. Because my original hope was I'd find a publisher for my history, but that turned out not to be the case. And actually, I'm happy it turned out to not be the case, because I had complete control over the content of my books, and the only editor I had to satisfy was my wife.
Well, a good editor and proofreader is invaluable.
Oh, my goodness. I whenever people ask me about my books, I tell them I could not have written them without my wife's editorial and proofreading support. I've always enjoyed research. I've always enjoyed writing. But, she'll tell you that my punctuation isn't always the way it's supposed to be, and sometimes I fail to write an active voice like I should, and sometimes there could be sections of it that could have been organized better. So, yes, an editor is so essential to producing a book of any kind.
And who was your publisher?
Well, that's an interesting question too, because when I started looking into publishing, I'm using what they call print-on-demand publishing, and it's a publishing company that Amazon owns. And with print-on-demand publishing, a book is not printed until it's sold, unlike, you know, books of, you know, major authors we know, they print hundreds, maybe thousands of copies, depending upon the popularity of the author. But in this case, Amazon only prints books that are actually ordered online from them. And now when you publish like that, Amazon will give you a free ISBN number. But in researching, print-on-demand publishing, I learned that if I took their free ISBN number, then they would own the copyright, and I wanted to own the copyright. So I purchased my own ISBN numbers, and when you do that, you have to give them a name of your publishing company. So if you look at my books, they'll say the publisher was the CINP Press in Ankeny, Iowa. And CINP Press stands for the Central Iowa Norwegian Project Press. Personally, I've learned a lot about what my ancestors' lives were like, and that was that's kind of really the motivating force that has kept me active and so interested in this project all these years. But, you know, my hope is that the content in these histories may help me understand my ancestors better, and my hope is that for family horse historians who are, you know, doing genealogical work and trying to record stories about their own families, that especially for those who couldn't find the information about some of their ancestors, like that's the problem I had with doing family history work, that they can read my books and learn more about what life was like for their ancestors here in Central Iowa.
Thank you very much. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm your host for today, Susan Franzen, with co-hosts Gina McAndrews and Paul Pearson. Also appearing on today's show were Leanne Harder, Story County Outreach and Special Projects Coordinator, and Carolyn and John Klaus, representing the Story County League of Women Voters, and Arlen Tweet telling us about the Central Iowa Norwegians.
Special thanks to our interim station manager, Michael Murphy, for engineering today's program, and to producer Lynn Carey.
KHOI provides a platform for citizens and public officials to air opinions and information. The views of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of KHOI, your community, nonprofit, nonpartisan media.
Remember that you can also hear today's program online at khoifm.org and find links to our guests and information you heard during the program. Our website again is khoifm.org. Please consider becoming a member and making KHOI your community radio station with your financial support. Go to our website at khoifm.org and press the yellow donate button to begin the process of becoming a member, or you can just contribute as a continuing member as well. And this is a great week to do it.
Our theme song is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley, AM. Remember, you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thanks for listening. See you again on the radio.
And one follow-up to yesterday's program. Yesterday we heard a wonderful piece by Greta Anderson on Mustard Seed Farm and their Advent candle making. Well, those candles, the sets, three purple and one pink, will be available at St. Cecilia Catholic Church Christmas Market this Saturday from 4:30 to 6:30, and Sunday from 9 to 12:30. All proceeds go to charitable causes.
The League of Women Voters of Ames in Surrey County will present Empowering Women Worldwide, presented by Dr. Cornelia Flora, Emerita Distinguished Professor in the Department of Sociology, ISU. Dr. Flora will share how women from around the world have worked together to bring their access to cultural, social, political, and financial resources. The presentation will be based on her work with women's groups in the U.S., Latin America, Africa, Asia, and Europe, as well as a scholarship on women's empowerment. You can hear it on November 18th at 7 p.m. in the Ames Public Library Auditorium or live on Facebook.
On an evening such as this,
KHOI and C.Y. Stevens Auditorium present An Evening of Susan Werner on the big stage at C.Y. Stevens. Discounted tickets, which include a contribution to KHOI, are available at khoifm.org. She recently tweeted out that Stevens Auditorium is an Iowa Farm Girls Carnegie Hall. Susan Werner is a composer of Broadway-bound Bull Durham, the musical. The concert is on November 21st at 7 p.m., but discounted tickets, including a donation to KHOI, are still available at khoifm.org. It's autumn, and Thanksgiving is upon us. We usually think of this as a time for family and friends and good food, but it's also time for giving thanks, and we here at KHOI are thankful for you, the listeners. Your support is vital for keeping this station on the air. If you're not yet a member, please become one. Call 515-292-2878 or visit khoifm.org and press the donate button. A basic membership is just $60 a year. Or you can become a friend of KHOI for $250 a year or pay it for 12 months at just over $20 a month. Give us another reason to be thankful. That's 515-292-2878 or khoifm.org. And thanks in advance.